Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Divine Goddess Radio. We are your hosts, Marie Langley.
And Beth Jacobson.
And thank you for joining us this evening. We created the show as a venue to discuss the many facets of healing, shifting, and spirituality. And we have a couple ways that you can connect with us. You can follow our show on Blog Talk Radio by clicking the follow button. You can email us anytime for any questions or comments, or if you have any suggestions for a show, you can email us at divinegoddessradio@gmail.com. We have a blog that you can follow, divinegoddessradio.wordpress.com. And we have a Facebook page, and so if you want to go in and like that, we do draw a name from all likers once a month, and we do a 30-minute free reading with them. So go in and like us. You know, you always find out what we're doing, what our shows are. You can connect with our shows there. So we'd love it if you could join our little community.
That's right.
And tonight we have a very wonderful guest. We are being joined by Caitlin Mariah. And Caitlin is a graphic artist who had a near-death experience in 1985, which changed her life and the way she created art. And her art is an expression of her transformational work and connection to spirit. So we'll get a little bit more information about Caitlin from Caitlin. And I just wanted to also put out there that this episode is paid for and brought to you by Liaisons with Spirit, Personal Soul Portraits, created by Caitlin. The website is magneticcaitlin.wix.com/liaisonswithspirit. And you can reach Caitlin at magneticcaitlin@gmail.com. And her phone number is 651-955-3673. So welcome, Caitlin.
Welcome, Caitlin.
Thank you, Marie and Beth, for having me on the show.
Well, you're welcome.
You're welcome. We're happy to have you.
Yes, yes. Well, Caitlin, would you like to talk a little bit more about yourself as a, what is a spiritual artist? Would you like to talk
you
a little bit
more
about
that? You want me to jump
right
into that, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, or just start maybe with your background.
Or you can give your background and then go into transition.
Yeah,
I
think there's a progression that happened with me in my artwork that it's kind of important to have some background.
Okay.
I've actually been an artist since I was probably in my teens, and I built a studio in my parents' basement, and that's where I would paint. It was kind of like my sanctuary. And I got a BFA in fine arts from the University of Minnesota and a post-baccalaureate degree in art therapy. And then I studied psychology. So I have art therapy psychology background. And I was a psychologist for 26 years.
Wow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yep.
So what happened in 1985?
Well, in 1985, I had something happen to me that's pretty rare for a person that age. I had a strangulated bowel, and my doctors told me 99% of the people who get it usually don't make it through surgery because they can't find the problem. So 99% of the people would die. And I was in surgery for 8 hours.
Ooh.
And I believe that I went somewhere while I was in surgery and really got informed on a whole different level. When I woke up in ICU, I looked at my then husband and said, I want a divorce. And soon after that, I think we split up. So, you know, I realized coming out of that there was more, something really important in my life that I needed to do that I wasn't aware of before. And so that was really what set me on my path to awakening. And
wow.
So he left in, can't remember, I think it was, he left in 85, and I started school a month after he left. Went back to school.
Okay.
So I really didn't start doing the visionary work until 1992. And I didn't realize that that's what I was doing, but I did an experiment because I felt like my artwork was really controlled and really tight and was totally different than what I do now. And so I did an experiment. I did 16 drawings, drawings and paintings, because I drew them first and then I painted them with my non-dominant hand. So I was I was painting and drawing with my left hand. And when I was done with the drawings, I realized that they had like so much more life, because I had totally given up the control of making perfect, that kind of thing. And so I realized it kind of opened up a space in me that allowed me to access other higher dimensions, because I was using my other hand. So when I started painting with my dominant hand, it was a whole different experience. I could just let the images just flow through me. I could connect to this higher place and let the images flow through me, so it was more like handwriting.
Oh.
And it was, you know, like I was drawing as easily as if I were writing. And that was happening with my left hand, too. I could do it with both hands. So that was really the beginning of me doing visionary work. And I started with images of the goddess. And so I was painting not in the traditional way that we see goddesses, but as the feminine came through me.
Wow.
In my expression of what that would be.
Wow. That is really interesting. So to this day, do you do your artwork with both hands still?
You know, I have done it, but I'm usually using my dominant hand.
Okay. Wow, that is really, really interesting.
So what happened was, after I did this series of 16 drawings, I had entered a shamanic medicine wheel class where we were working our way around the medicine wheel and learning shamanism, and I got a sore throat. And I had this sore throat, and it wouldn't go away for like 6 months. And I started really getting worried that there was something seriously wrong with my throat. Including throat cancer, you know how you kind of go there to those places. And so I was at my studio one day, and I went, well, you're an art therapist, why don't you just paint something? And so I sat down and painted this image of, this was the first image of the goddess that I painted. And from there, I couldn't control. I was getting images like two or three a day.
Wow.
And I probably had 60 images come through me. I was only able to capture 44 of them.
Wow.
And I still at that point didn't know what I just thought I was painting. And I went to this a friend of mine who is a doctor used to have these like conscious spiritual discussion salons. And so I went to one of her salons, and I brought my paintings with me. And I was sitting next to this man. His name is Ron Mangrovite. He was very skilled in mythology and symbolism, and he was like a consultant on Amityville horror movie. So
Ooh.
He was giving them direction about the spiritual and the, you know, all the esoteric things that they kind of included in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so he picks up one of my paintings and he says, oh, I see you have the blah, 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 and the blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, you mean you don't know anything about mythology or symbolism? I said, no. And so he said to me, you are able to tap into sources of information from all cultures in all time frames and pull them together into a cohesive image. And
cool.
So he was what he was saying to me, was that I was pulling through these images from this really pure place of consciousness, which blew me away.
Yeah.
And so
I've seen your art. Your artwork is absolutely phenomenal.
Well, and that my earlier stuff isn't as good. Well, it's different. Let's just put it that way, because I was painting so fast that, you know, it was just, some of them are more crude than others, but I was just trying to capture the information that was coming through me so fast that they're not as refined as my work is now.
Wow.
But so I had all these images, and a friend of mine published them in a deck. So it was called Awaken the Goddess Meditation Deck.
Mm-hmm.
And she had, I think, like 1,500, maybe 2,000 of them printed. And Ron came back and did a whole presentation on, I think he talked about maybe 10 or 12 of the images. And I'm sitting in the audience watching this and listening to him say these things about mythology and how I've pulled these cultural images together. It was pretty mind-boggling to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the background, and you know how it really happened for me, and that I realized what I was doing.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing. So how
mm-hmm.
much of, because I know you're studying and doing some new stuff, is that
yep.
The artwork that you're now interpreting, have you done a lot of artwork since then, bringing in this new way of painting?
It's an interesting thing, because I've gotten really proficient with my medium, which is watercolor pencil.
Okay.
To the point where I don't have to think about technique. I don't have to think about anything. I can just let an image come through me. And so I open up, and a part of the image comes through me, and it takes me on a journey, and I just let it come through, and I paint it as I get it. Well, so I'm learning this Renaissance technique that goes back to, at least the 1600s, maybe earlier. And it's oil paint, which is not my medium. And so I'm just in the learning process, so I'm not able to do the same kind of thing. You know, I can't pull it through yet because I'm still learning technique.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So it's really interesting. It's kind of brought up an internal struggle in me, because I know how well I can paint, and I should be able to do that, and I should be able to pull all the spiritual information through me. But right now, I'm just learning the technique, so it's not the same.
I was just going to ask, because you mentioned that your medium was the watercolor pencils,
mm-hmm.
and then you are now starting to use oil. But is there a difference that you've noticed?
Big difference.
When you use
different
mediums?
Yeah, there's a big difference. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I'm so good with watercolors that I know what color to lay next to each other, how much water to use. I mean, just, it's all, I'm really skilled with it.
Mm-hmm.
With oils, I don't know what colors to mix together. I don't know how to thin them out. It's all really technique-driven at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Once you learn the technique, then you can, I'm sure I'll be able to do the same thing, but at this point, I can't do it with oils.
Okay. Who do you think you channel when you're doing this, when you're doing your painting?
I don't know if I'm channeling or if it's me connecting to a real pure part of me where I'm able to access information. I'd rather think of it that way, because I have a little bit of a conflict in myself about channeling,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like we can all connect to a higher place in us where we can access information. So that's what I believe I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think you go into Akashic Records at all?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Because when I'm in a painting, I time totally disappears. I have no clue what time it is. I get paid for 8 hours and think it's like half hour.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Interesting.
Well, so I started doing soul portraits about, the deck was published in 1996, and then I started doing soul portraits in 1997. Because somebody said to me, well, if you can do that, you could probably access other people, you know, their higher selves and information that they, you know, that comes through them through me. And so I started doing soul portraits, and people would tell me, and what's interesting is that because they're kind of ahead of where the person is, so they are learning just by looking at the image. And I've had people come back to me 5 years later and say, I finally got it.
Wow. Because I was going to ask you, because your website talks about soul painting. So what do you see? I mean, what do you see when, well, do you see when you're drawing a soul painting? Or
sometimes
you just...
I see, but I see through my third eye, so it's different. Oh. I just get a download of information that I can put into an image, and they're just really accurate. Like, for example, I did this one for a woman probably 6 or 7 years ago, and it was all about water. And when I was done, she goes, I don't have any connection with water. I don't get this. And about 2 years ago, I got an email from her, and she said, Caitlin, you're not going to believe this, but I'm the head of the group that's bringing in Dr. Emoto. And she said, I'm all about water now.
Oh.
And it was, you know, she said, it didn't come into me until later. But, she, you know, she said this painting just kind of activated something in her.
Wow.
And so what I feel happens with my work, because a lot of it is coded, you know what coding means?
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
explain it,
because there's listeners who don't know.
Right, okay. So we get codes through light, we get codes through color, we get codes through image, and it sets off a certain, it's like something is talking to your soul and unleashing or, you know, turning a key to a code in you,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have to know what you're looking at. You can just look at the painting, and it's speaking to a higher part of you.
Oh, wow.
And so that's what happens with the soul portraits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So my question is, when you do a... I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, so when you do a soul portrait, do you do the individuals, are they there with you? Can they have their phones on? Do you give them information? Do you write
when
something up?
When I first started, I thought they had to be with me and that I had to be in contact with them. So I did a lot of them that way. And then I realized I didn't have to, because I'm connecting to, you know, a different plane. So now I can do them. They can be at their house, and I can connect with them and, you know, just do something.
Oh, that's cool. How much do you charge for your paintings?
I would have to look at my website because I can't remember.
Do you do different sizes, or are they usually just one
size? Yeah, I've got a couple different sizes. Smaller one, which is more cost effective for someone, has less detail, and I always do a three-page write-up on them, too, because I'll get information, and then I do a little study of the symbolism. So they get a three-page write-up of what this painting is about.
Wow. Go ahead and give your website, too, if you want to. Somebody just tuned in, then maybe they can,
they
may want to look it up right away.
Yeah, the website for my soul paintings is caitlinmariah.wix.com/liaisonswithspirit, and liaison spelled L-I-A-I-S-O-N-S.
Okay.
And then my other website is caitlinmariahvisionaryartist.weebly.com.
Okay. Yeah, so that if people can go and see, you know, exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, and can maybe, do you have examples of, you have examples of soul paintings on your website,
yep.
correct?
Yeah, yeah, and that so first one that the first one that I gave you has a lot of examples on there.
Okay.
I've probably done a couple hundred.
Oh, wow. So
mm-hmm.
are people able to still access your deck of cards?
Yeah. I still have some for sale, and that's on the second website that I gave.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice, nice, nice.
So how do you think that your artwork has impacted other people?
Well, like I said, with soul portraits, it really opens up another level of information that a person wasn't really aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And some of my other paintings, I did a show at the Phipps Center, I don't know, it was several years ago, and I had this painting that now belongs to Cindy Dale, and my work is kind of in panels, so it's divided up into different sections. There's a main image, and then there's images that take it to a deeper level. And I like to paint what people can't see, so I'm bringing out something out of the image that comes to me, and I'm taking it to another level. So this one image had two, like, human hearts connected, and there was an energy in the heart that went around in a certain direction. And so I was at the show, at the opening, and this woman comes up to me, and she told me she was a doctor. And she said, the way that you have the energy flowing through the heart is exactly how it flows through the heart.
Wow.
And I just painted it from, you know, this place that I paint from.
Wow. Wow, that's
amazing. You know, so I get affirmation like that all the time after I've painted something.
Mm-hmm.
How long does it take you to paint a soul portrait?
They take me about maybe 5 hours, 6 hours.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. But that, I think a soul portrait is good for someone maybe who's kind of questioning their path.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you agree?
Yeah, I've done a lot of different interesting ones. I did one for a couple that was getting married. I was actually at their wedding up in the balcony painting it.
Oh.
While they were getting married. I did a whole yoga class one time, pulled the energy up for what was happening there. I've done a lot of really interesting ones. A lot of people will give them for birthday presents.
Wow. And a 3-page write-up on what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Very interesting.
That's interesting, because I know there's a lot of people on their spiritual path who are going, is there something to my, am I supposed to be doing something with my gifts? Or, you know,
yeah.
is it leading me somewhere? So I think that would be a great tool
mm-hmm.
to see what
it
comes
is.
Up, you know.
And, you know, I'm painting the information that's coming to me at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so it opens up, you know, like something that somebody might not have been aware of will come up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all symbolism. It's not like I'm painting an image of a person. It's an image of whatever. It can be anything, really. And I get a lot of numerology that comes up in a painting. So there'll be repeat numbers, you know, in the drawings, the different things will come up. Like, say there's stars in the painting, there'll be a number of them. I get a lot of numerology, color, what color means something. I usually pay attention to what's happening in the sky. So, you know, I'll look up what's going on, if it's a full moon or new moon or whatever. And I bring that into the write-up because it all has some kind of significance.
Yeah, it does. Wow.
I wonder what would the numerology in a soul portrait, what would that be like? Is it just like if you were to see it like every day, you know, numbers that you notice, is it the same thing or is it a little more deeper?
Yeah, because it isn't an actual number. It's repeat patterns.
Oh.
So, you know, it's just speaking to their spirit or their soul.
Okay. Interesting.
Hmm.
Very interesting.
How has your artwork impacted you? Has it changed you at all?
Well, yeah. My whole evolution has happened because of my artwork. That's been my spiritual path. And because of the, you know, I go to some really, really deep places. When I'm doing paintings for myself or when I'm just, you know, when I'm painting an image, I go on this journey and, you know, it's a real shamanic thing. So I'm going to, I've gone to the underworld, I've gone to the upper world. And when the painting is done, it starts to talk to me. And so I've just, you know, unraveled my whole being through my paintings and really came to a really deep understanding of who I am. Mm. And some of it was not fun.
Yeah, I bet. What would be the most profound experience that you've had of your own, that, I mean, to where, you know, to the extent where you could sit here and like painting that you've done for somebody else, has there been one that stuck out more than, you know, another one?
Well, I did, one of my daughter's girlfriends had cancer and I did a painting for her, and she looked at it every day and she feels like it really helped her move through her cancer.
Oh. Really?
So, like, she's still here on Earth then? She survived?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh.
It went away.
Wow.
Wow.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Look at that.
Yeah. Are you okay if I have people maybe call in with questions? I can put the number out if somebody
fine.
Wants to ask you a question. Okay, so if you want to call in and ask Caitlin a question, 347-327-9360. So I'll put that out there, and sorry, you can continue.
Okay.
Yeah, when
is
I was
there anything
doing the goddess
deck. Pardon me?
When I was doing the goddess deck, there were a lot of those images that really affected me. I'd be sitting at my drawing board crying, and I didn't really know why because it was so deep.
I wonder if you were to sit down and do another deck now, what that would be like. Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I've actually got images for another one.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm. Because I shifted from just doing the I did the goddess work for, oh, man, I don't know how many years, long, long time. And then I shifted to the masculine and the feminine. So most of the work that I'm doing now is the masculine and feminine balance.
Hmm.
Oh, wow.
So I haven't seen your deck of cards, but were your goddesses, when you painted them, were they, mm-hmm. I mean, could you look at a specific goddess and say, oh, I know who this goddess
mm-hmm.
is, or was it more
nope.
symbolic?
It was, they were goddesses, but they were interpretations that were coming through me.
Oh, okay.
Which makes them really unique. There's a lot of people that read from my deck. They do readings.
Okay.
I can't read my deck because it's such a deep part of me that I just can't read it. But I have another deck that I did, a collage deck that I can read with really well. Well, did I answer your question?
Yes, you did. Because I think Beth has seen the cards, but I haven't seen them.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you think of a goddess.
I gave Beth a deck, I think.
Yes, you did.
Oh.
You did. I haven't shown them to Marie yet.
Mm-mm.
But they are to where I'm sitting here looking at them. I mean, I'm looking back, and if you were to look at them, you would not be able to go, oh, that must be goddess. It's going to be the image, and there's a lot of symbology on it. It definitely is. It's a deck that definitely speaks to you.
Those images are a combination of different cultures and different times pulled into an image that says a certain thing. So it's not like you're looking at Aphrodite or, somebody like that. It's a mixture in a way.
Okay.
Exactly. Any time that I've ever used them, there's the whole deck is wanted to be laid out into a whole room, and the room is lit up with them. So they're very, very powerful. But I would assume that everybody who uses them, they have all different, you know, kinds of experiences. But I used them in a hotel room one time, and it was amazing. I had some individuals come into the hotel room with me afterwards, and you could barely walk in there. It was so lit up, and the energies that were in there, I mean, it was really great. Think about hotels when you go to hotels.
When you just hold the deck, you can feel the energy coming out.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Do you know how much you sell your deck for?
I think they're 30.
30? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
30, if I remember correctly, 30.
Because I'm, you never know, somebody listening might be really drawn to that, especially if it's
right.
full of symbology, and then they can pick up and interpret whatever during a reading. So
right, and there's a lot of Ron Mangrovite was going to write a book to go with it, and I was really resistant to that because I feel like they speak to everybody differently, and I think when you start to put meaning to them, then a person doesn't get the meaning that's their own. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So because I think those images will say something to one person and something different to another person.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And I've been in groups where people have used them, everybody will pass the deck around, pull a card out, and it's just perfect for where they're at. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Oh, interesting. Do you teach classes?
I was just going to ask that.
No.
No?
You don't, Caitlin?
It's something that's probably on my plate at a later date.
Oh.
As she abruptly just says it, at a later date.
Well, we know you travel, so. We know you travel. I mean, when you travel, you're traveling to learn for yourself, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the teacher that I'm studying with, it's an interesting story, too, because I think it was about 12 years ago I was at Barnes & Noble, and his book just jumped off the shelf at me. And I opened the first – I just kind of did a random pick and opened up a page. I read about three sentences and started crying because it's so resonant with how I believe.
Mm.
And so I bought the book, read the whole thing, and then I wrote him a letter because it was such a profound experience for me to have what I was thinking and feeling written down by somebody else. And so we've been connected for 12 years, and every year he'd say, well, are you going to come to the seminar? And I never could afford it. So last year, he asked me if I was going to come to the one in Austria, and I said, yep, I'm coming this year. So I spent a month in Austria, and now I'm going to spend 3 weeks in Bali.
Wow.
Do you mind my asking who the teacher is?
Yeah, no, it's Philip Rubinoff Jacobson. He's studied this technique for 40 years, and it's the old master's technique that the Flemish painters used. So you're using egg tempera.
Oh.
And egg tempera puts a whole different spirit into your painting because it's alive when you're painting with a live vehicle.
Wow. And Beth is sitting here trying to figure out, am I related to this Jacobson in some way?
No, I'm not. I wish.
No,
I wish.
He's from New York.
Yes. No, I don't have relatives there, to the best of my knowledge. I would love to claim him. Yes, he's my uncle.
He's awesome.
You know, okay, so Caitlin, I have a question for you. Do you have your new artwork on any of your websites then, so I will be able to go in there and see them?
The new stuff that I'm still working on?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's on, you can find them on my Facebook page.
Oh, on the Facebook page? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to check that out.
But there's still works in progress, so I'm taking one of them back with me to Bali to hopefully finish.
Well, I saw that heart one, and I'm telling you, the one that you did in Austria, holy cow.
The one with the bird?
No, I think it was a heart one. You were showing the progress of it.
Oh, no.
I want to say it was a heart one.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think it had a heart on it.
Oh, it was little.
Yes.
Yeah, that was just a practice.
Oh, my, that was just a practice one? Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you ever shown your art in a gallery? Like, has anybody ever set up an art show with your paintings?
Yeah, I've done a lot of different ones. I was in the SIP Center Gallery, and that's a judge show. So you have to be invited.
Mm.
And I did that, and I've done a number of, like, coffee shop shows. I've sold, you know, several paintings. Like I said, Cindy Dale has one.
Mm.
There's a few of them, my favorites, that are gone.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no local store, because we know you're obviously from the Twin Cities, but there's no local store in Minneapolis or St. Paul that actually carries, like, has a number of your paintings, so if somebody
mm-hmm.
wanted to go in and purchase, they could look at them?
No, but if they look at my website and see something they want, they can contact me.
Okay. Okay.
Are they
all
originals?
Are there any duplicates? I don't have any prints of anything right now. All the ones on my website are watercolor.
Okay. Okay. Nice.
Yeah, I was looking on your website, and the colors are so vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
They just pop. I mean,
I love
very,
color.
Very, very beautiful, vibrant colors.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed I don't know which website you went on, but I did a 31-day meditation where I did a painting every day for 31 days.
Ooh.
And that was pretty powerful.
Wow.
I looked at the soul painting one, because I was drawn to the soul painting. So that was the
mm-hmm.
website I was looking at. I was like, oh, look at this.
Yeah,
that
series is on there under the tab meditation.
Okay.
And another interesting thing I did, came up with this idea. A friend of mine was a musician, and I came up with this idea that we could connect. He lived in like Minnetonka, and I live in St. Paul. And I came up with this idea that we would pick a time and connect with each other, and he would write a song and I would do a painting.
Oh.
And we did, I think we did 21 pieces, and it was just uncanny how they matched.
Wow.
Oh. Interesting.
And that's something that you have done just recently, like within the past year?
No, it was a few years ago.
A few years ago. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That was called Infusions of Angelic Light.
Infusions of Angelic Light.
Ooh.
I like that. I like it.
Oh, so if anybody listening, do you have samples of that, the music and the paintings, if anybody was interested?
I have one that's just a personal copy.
Okay.
And we were going to have them reproduced, but we just couldn't find a way to do it that was cost effective, because all the images are in color.
Okay.
And it's pretty expensive.
Sure. Wow.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about your paintings that we're leaving out? Because I want to make sure we cover all, cover everything. I think we've talked about everything and more. But if there's anything that you can think of that you want to talk a little bit more on.
I was just going to look at my notes and see if there's anything that I missed. Not really. I think we covered a lot.
I was going to say you've covered a lot because this isn't the only thing that she does, folks. She does many things.
Okay, let's talk about the other things that you do then so that people know.
I'm a writer. I have a couple of blogs. And I'm an entrepreneur. And I have a business group for women who are in business. It's a networking group that I started. I think I started that about 5 years ago. And there's like maybe 1,050 members.
Oh.
Yeah. I forget that I do all these things.
So what's the name of that women's group that you're a part of?
The Magnetic Business Women?
Yes, the Magnetic Business Women.
Okay.
And that's a meetup group, correct?
Yep.
A meetup group.
But it's magneticbusinesswomen.com.
Okay.
So they can get to that by putting that in.
And so what you say you're an entrepreneur, what else do you do business-wise?
You mean like how I make money?
Well, sure. I was trying to be diplomatic about it, and that's why there was a pause. I'm going, how can I ask that without?
Well, I have my own network marketing business.
Okay.
That I started 5 years ago, and it got so successful that I was able to quit being a therapist.
Wow.
Wow.
And that's how I'm able to travel. And I really started that because when I was working, I didn't have time to do any artwork or anything creative because being a therapist just kind of takes all your energy away. So I wanted to be able to do the mission that I came here to do. And if I was working, I couldn't do that. So I really started that business for that purpose. And that's one of the things that gives me the opportunity to travel.
So what is this business, Caitlin?
What is it?
Yes.
It works.
It works.
It works. Yeah, it's an herbal body wrap that it does really amazing things to your body.
Mm.
Heals your body, sit and slims your body at the same time.
Wow. Very, very interesting.
That is interesting. Mm-hmm. Do you do any healing work as well? Or?
Well, I did. I used to do a lot of... I'm a trained sound healer.
Okay.
And also can do hands-on. And I haven't really done any of that for a while.
Do you do any of the shamanic work with other individuals, or is that just with your artwork that you...
Well, the shamanic, because I've studied with three different shamans. I studied with a shaman in Peru, one in Chile, and a Native American medicine woman here. And so I've really learned a lot of shamanic healing techniques. But I was really drawn to the sound healing component to that because when you're doing sound healing, the sound goes to the part of the body that needs healing. You don't even have to, direct it or anything. It goes there by itself. And so I studied with Jonathan Goldman, who is an internationally known sound healer. And so my healing work is a combination of sound healing and hands-on and psychic.
Mm.
So when you do sound healing, are you using your voice or are you using an instrument?
I have a huge collection of instruments.
Okay.
And so I'm a what they call a cultrum carrier in the tradition of the Chilean medicine women. And a cultrune is a specific drum that's made for women to do healing work. So I do work with that. And Ruth Clara, who I study with, comes up here, and we'll do a sound healing event for people.
Okay.
Well, sounds like you're a really busy woman.
I'm taking a group to Chile at the end of the year in November to work with her.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. That is nice.
Have you ever done a conjunction of your sound healing and painting to see what would come out?
Well, yeah, you know, I did experiment with that because I've had a number of fellowships where I was able to go and paint in different places. And there's a place in Vermont that I've gone a couple of times. And the last time I went, I worked specifically with music. And it was pretty amazing because I would play the piece of music the whole time that I was painting, and I really felt like it informed what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And do you find you get different messages in different parts of the world or different locations? Do your
mm-hmm.
paintings change?
Yeah, you know, I've done a lot of traveling to sacred sites, and a lot of them in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And I can walk into a place and pick up information. And a lot of times I'll just grab, you know, I always bring a sketchbook with me, and so I just start drawing whatever it is that I'm getting.
Ooh. Have you ever been to Chichen Itza?
No, you know, I've gone to a lot of the ruins around there, but they, the last couple of times that I've been in Mexico, they've had Chichen Itza, the main temple is blocked off.
Yeah, you can't climb it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting to see if you could, you know, there's that one side where the staircase is, where it looks like the serpent comes down, and they have an opening that used to be able to climb into the pyramid. But if anything would come out of that opening, because they have that jade jaguar,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so much
mm-hmm.
stuff that comes off of that pyramid.
Well, you know, people don't realize that you're walking into a field, and it's, you know, a field
yes.
of energy from anybody who's been there, anything
yes.
that happened there, at least I can tune into that.
Yep.
And, like, there was a pyramid in Mexico that I went with a group, and it was, there had been very little tourist activity there, and I sat down and I could read that there was another structure built underneath it that went like you know 10 stories below.
Oh.
That nobody knew about.
Oh. Wow.
And I think that they did a lot of that where there'd be a structure underneath.
Uh-huh. I think so, too. I think
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of stuff hidden underneath those little
yep.
jungle grounds.
Yep.
yeah.
And, you know, I can pick up the energy. Like, some of the places that we went, I felt like I wasn't supposed to go in, and I was being told not to go in because of the energy. And some of the places that we would go into, it was totally welcoming. You could literally feel love in the air.
Mm-hmm.
What has been your most profound experience in the sacred spaces that you've traveled to? That you've had, and then did you channel it later into a painting?
A
two-part question.
Yeah. You know, one of the ones that when I was with this group, we were in this pyramid that you could go down inside, and inside of there, it was like this. It was pitch black, and we used a flashlight to go down inside. And
mm-hmm.
once we were there, were three of us, and once we were in the center of it, there was a bat cave. And I'm, like, extremely afraid of bats. But they were flying in and out of, you know, under our arms, through our legs, just flying all over around us. And I wasn't afraid. And then, so when we left, we decided that we were going to go out of there in the dark. And so we kind of hooked up in a little human chain, the three of us. And we're walking out, and I said, "Do you see the walls?" And they both said, "Well, no, what do you see?" And I said, "They were lit up in green fluorescent light."
Wow.
And I could see where, you know, it was pitch black. I could see. And the more that they were, you know, opened up to that awareness, they could see it too. So it led us out of there.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was just glowing green fluorescent light. It was pretty amazing.
Oh, it sounds amazing. Fluorescent green.
I've had a lot of really profound experiences in different places, and I can't really think of if I've put them into paintings or not.
Wow. So I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you go into different realms? You know, when
mm-hmm.
you go to these secret places, are you a mystic to top it off?
I would say.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A mystic is somebody who can go into and our person, our in-home
studio audience.
In-home studio, not going, "What's a mystic? What's a mystic?" Do you want to describe what a mystic is so you can describe your experience?
I don't know if I could put it
in the
words.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's somebody who can go in and experience different realms as they're,
mm-hmm.
you see us in physical bodies, to where we can go in
mm-hmm.
there, because I can do that too. And I'm going,
they
there's
can,
no
they
way
they can cross dimensions.
We can
so they
cross
can go
dimensions.
Into different dimensions, go in and
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're literally experiencing different different worlds. So
mm-hmm.
it's really, really cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here trying to think of what are some other questions. I have like a ton that I would kind of that I would ask. Is there anything that you want to ask, Marie?
No, I was just, I mean, going back to that story with the fluorescence, you probably don't remember if you did a painting. I was just curious to see if a sketch or something came out of it where you captured something from inside that pyramid.
You know, I think it's interesting because when you have those kind of experiences, they kind of leave information in you
uh-huh.
that you can pick up later. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's possible that I brought it back with me.
Mm-hmm.
But that memory is so strong in me. I can just take myself back there and see it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have another question that has to do with that. So the people that went in there that you had that experience with, did they have the same experience of seeing that fluorescent green on them? On the bath also.
Yeah, they saw it after I started, saying, "Do you guys see this?" And then they did. And we were in this, in a place where it was really dangerous, where you could fall off of an edge and just kind of fall into who knows where. So we shouldn't have been coming out in the dark. But once the whole thing lit up for me, I could see where we were. And we're like, okay, this is, like, amazing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because in my head I'm going, what was the fluorescent green for? I'm just trying to, but I don't need to know what either.
I've read things about that since then, that there is, like, sometimes in places like that, there's an energy that shows up as fluorescent light. A lot of time it's green.
Mm-hmm. I've read that too. I've heard of
mm-hmm.
that. And it just shows up and then it guides you,
mm-hmm.
depending on the energy of you, you know.
Yeah.
Like if it's almost like the energies that are guarding this place, and if
yep.
you're not of 100% light, then the green shuts off and you're on your own.
Yeah, it's
kind of
it's
thing.
True. Because
yeah.
you can't see it unless you're in a certain vibration.
That is so cool. You just gave me some validation on some stuff that of my own experience. So I'm going, oh, so that's what it means. Cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah, that is really interesting. Cool experiences you have had, Miss.
Yeah.
Oh, I've had a lot of them. I should write some of them down.
You should.
Mm-hmm.
Are you in the process of writing a book?
Well, I am. I'm working on a book that I've been working on for about 4 years. It's alternative healing.
Oh.
And it's healing. There's probably 12 stories now about healing parts of my body that weren't supposed to heal. And then I talk about a lot of really creative ways that I've used to heal my body. And so there's touch, there's sound, there's all kinds of different things in that piece of the book. But my stories, my personal stories are pretty powerful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I wasn't going to write this book. I just decided, you know, that was in the past. I really don't want to go back into the past and look at all that stuff again. But I woke up one morning with a whole first chapter written in my head, and I went, oh, okay, I'll write it.
That's usually the way it happens.
Yeah.
Is it close to completion yet, Caitlin?
Yeah, I've got two more chapters to edit, and then I'm going to start working on putting it into, I'm probably going to self-publish it.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, interesting.
Well, we only have about a couple minutes left. Do you want to maybe give out your contact information again in case somebody wants to contact you or has questions for you or maybe wants to get a soul painting done?
Yeah. My email address is magneticcaitlin@gmail.com. My phone number is 651-955-3673. And one of my websites is CaitlinMariahVisionaryArtist.weebly.com. That's the easiest one to get to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the other one is CaitlinMariah.wix.com/liaisonswithspirit.
Wow. So if anybody listening, you know, now or later wants to contact her, that's how you can get a hold of her and maybe order your own soul portrait.
Oh, I would love to have one.
Yeah.
Again. Especially, remember, you guys, with her soul portrait, you get a 3-page write-up of the information that she's interpreting for you. So that goes along with the portrait itself.
Yep.
Can she what?
Oh, can you do soul portraits for pets?
Probably.
Probably.
The other thing I was thinking would be really cool is if someone wanted to get in contact with somebody who passed over, I could do that too.
Okay, good information.
Oh, that is wonderful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I didn't know that you did that. That's really cool to know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Have you done a lot of those paintings?
No, a couple of them.
Okay. Okay.
Yep. Okay. But I know I can do that.
Wow.
What a perfect gift to be able to give to somebody who just lost a loved one.
Absolutely.
You know, and just where they have that portrait of Caitlin's interpretation of that soul.
I actually did that. One of my friends passed about a year and a half ago, and she came to me with this image. And I had to do it. It was like, okay. And I sent it to her partner.
Oh.
Wow.
It was pretty powerful.
Oh, I bet it is. I bet it is. Well, Caitlin, this has been fabulous.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on.
Yes, thank
you. Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So, you know, think about if there's anything, when you're done with the book, give us a jingle jangle and you can be on again.
Yeah. Yep. That'd be awesome.
And happy travels to Bali.
Yes. Have a wonderful time.
And we will catch
you.
Everybody else on Friday at 1 p.m. for Phone In Friday. Mm-hmm. Have a wonderful evening, and we send you love and light.
Bye, Caitlin.
Bye, Caitlin. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.